You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and you may want to hold yourself there at Galatians chapter 3. But I preached a sermon on Mother's Day, Mighty Moms, and in that sermon I chose a woman named Hannah. She was barren, and she cried out to the Lord for a baby, and God answered her prayers and gave her a son. In that sermon I listed five principles that made her a great mom. These five principles, I stated it in that sermon, they will apply to a man, to a woman, to anyone who succeeds in life. Anybody that wants to succeed in life, you've got to apply these five principles. Amen. But this is Father's Day, and so today I want to apply these principles to fatherhood. Today we want to look at a man named Abraham, the father of the faith. My subject, diligent dads. Diligent dads. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for our Christian home. Thank you, Lord, for those who are coming in that may not have come out of a Christian home, Lord, like Abraham, but Lord, they're coming into the kingdom and they're coming into the blessings of God. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts today, Lord. You drop this into my spirit, Lord, and I thank you for it. And now, Lord, anoint me to deliver it to your people. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Five principles that will help you to maximize your potential in life. And we're looking at the life of Abraham. Principle number one, priority. Abraham had his priorities in order, and his number one priority was to obey God and to receive the promises that God had made to him. Look with me at Galatians 3 and 13. I want to lay some background. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And look at this, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I want you to look at verse 29, Galatians 3 and 29, because this is key to your success. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Abraham, he maximized his potential because he had his priorities in order. Abraham came from a family who were idol worshipers. They were pagans. He didn't come out of a Christian home. Amen. And the Lord spoke to Abraham, and I want you to look at what God said to Abraham when he first spoke to him. Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now I want you to notice here that if you're going to claim the benefits and the blessings of Abraham, then you're going to have to get them just like Abraham got the blessings. Here are the steps to getting the blessings of Abraham, and that's what I want to share with you in part of this sermon today. How do you get the blessings that Abraham got? How do you get them to come upon your life? God spoke to Abraham and said, get out. That's the first step, is to get out. God said, get out, and then I will show you. God said, get out, and I'll show you, but not only am I going to show you, but I'm not going to show you until you get out. Get out, and I will show you, and after I show you, I will make you. And after I make you, I will bless you. And after I bless you, I will make you a blessing. Friends, we need to get our priorities in order because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you and to help you so you can evangelize the world and be a blessing to others. God doesn't bless us for us to consume it on ourselves. He blesses us to make us a blessing to others. And we know that Abraham came out of his natural family. He came out of that idol worship. He came out of that paganism, and he entered into a covenant, a blood covenant with God. Do you know that we were all born in sin? And that we were by nature the children of the devil. Now, there are only two types of people in the world. and they are the children of God and the children of the devil. And Jesus said to those religious leaders who were bragging about their heritage, he said, you are of your father, the devil. You can be religious and say your prayers and still have the devil as your spiritual father. That's what Jesus said. I know those are strong words, but they are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people, they're religious, but they're not born again. Just because you go to church once in a while and you look a little pious and you say a few prayers, that does not mean that you are saved. If you are saved and born again, you want to be around God's people. If you are saved, you want to walk right. You want to talk right. You want to live right. Don't tell me that an adulterous person or a fornicator or a drunkard or a liar or a thief or a person with a foul mouth who has no godly sorrow, don't tell me that they're a child of God. That is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for people to forsake their sins and get out of sin and get right with God. Some people say, oh, I got one hallelujah. I got one shout out of all of that. Just because you're in church, just because you're religious, that doesn't mean you're right with God. Some people say, I'm saved, but I do this sin and I do that sin. I'm saved, but you're judging me. No, you're not saved if you're living in sin. You're just ignorant. You're lost. And you're a child of darkness. Jesus makes a new creation, a new creature out of us. And Jesus delivers us from the power of darkness, and he translates us into the kingdom of God. And God is saying, if you want the blessings of Abraham, then get out. Get out of the family of the devil. Get out of that company you've been keeping. Get out of that sin. Get out of that crowd. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God of hosts. See, you cannot fly like an eagle and run around with turkeys and buzzards. Amen. People today, they want to live with one foot on the fence and one foot in the church and one foot in the world, but that just will not work. God wants a clean people. God wants a pure people. God wants a dedicated people. And he said, if you want my blessings, don't live like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't go around looking like the world and hanging around the people of the world. If you want the blessings of Abraham, God said, get out. Don't hang around with that old crowd that wants to drag you out of church and keep you out of church and want you to go where they're going and do what they're doing. No, get out of the world. Get out of the devil's crowd. Get out from among those who are going to hell. Get out. And God said, if you'll get out, I'll show you some things. People say, show me first. God says, no, I'm not going to do it. You get out first. God said, then I'll show you. Then God says, after I show you, I'll make you. And God said, after I make you, I'll bless you. And after I bless you, I'll make you a blessing. See, Abraham had his priorities in order. God help us in the church to get our priorities in order. That's what made great Abraham a great man. That's what made him a great dad. He had his priorities in order. Principle number one, priority. Principle number two, prayer. When you get your priorities lined up, then your prayers will line up with those priorities. Look at Genesis 12 and 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, which appeared unto him. The first principle, priority. The second principle, prayer. When do you begin to pray and claim the promises of God? You do it as soon as God gives you a promise. God promised Abraham a son, and Abraham built an altar, and he began to pray, and he began to claim the promises of God. When God first spoke to Abraham, Abraham's name was Abram, and Abram means father. But later, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. See, God wanted him to get out, and then God wanted him to get his talking right. You got to get your living right, and you got to get your talking right also. Amen. But God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. 5 years go by. How many children have you got, Abraham, father of many nations? None. 10 years. How many children you got now? Abraham, father of many nations? None. Well, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years since the promise came. How many kids you got running around now? Abraham, father of many nations? None. Well, tell me, Abraham, how old are you? 100. Well, anybody knows that a 100-year-old man cannot produce a baby. But faith fights facts. And Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And that baby came, and the prophecy, it was fulfilled just like God had promised. And the prophecy was this: your seed shall be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of the heaven. The sands of the seashores, that represents that which is natural. Natural Israel, the Jewish people. And the stars of the heaven, that represents that which is heavenly. And God calls the Gentiles in the book of Galatians the seed of Abraham, those that have been born again. And we're in church today, the seed of Abraham, because the facts said it can't be, and faith says it can be, because I can overcome the facts with my faith. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, it does not matter what the facts say. If God has spoken to you, it only matters what God says and what your faith has said. It can be a fact that there is cancer in your body. It can be a fact that you have heart disease. It can be a fact that your marriage is in trouble. It can be a fact that your children are on drugs. It can be a fact that you're going through a crisis. But faith will fight the facts. The devil may tell you the sun is going down and you will never make it and your situation is never going to change. But faith will fight the facts. So have faith in God, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Somebody go on and praise him if you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was justified simply because he had faith. Amen. There was no law for him to keep. He just cut a blood covenant with God. And because of that blood covenant that he cut with God and what God promised him, he began to serve God to the best of his abilities. And God counted unto him for righteousness. He had faith. You got faith today? Anybody in here got faith? Am I talking to people that have faith? Am I in the right church this morning? Glory to God. Go and praise God, because faith brought you out. When the fact said you're on your way to devil's hell, faith said, I believe Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross. I believe Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. I believe he's the Son of God that took my sin, that rose again the third day. I believe that in my heart. I confess it with my mouth. And when you believe that, praise God, you were born again. And you need to live right, walk right, talk right, if you want the blessings of Abraham. Somebody go and praise God. I'm preaching better than you're praising God right now. Come on, church. Let's give Jesus a praise break. Come on. Come on. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. We've been brought out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And my faith says my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I'm on my way to heaven. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And because of that, praise God, what can overcome us? Nothing. The death and the grave has no victory. We have victory because Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He rose from the dead, and because he lives, you and I, we also shall live. Hallelujah. I was on vacation when God gave me this sermon, and I preached those five principles. And I said, God, I want to see these same five principles laid out in the life of Abraham. And it didn't come all at once, but as I just continued to pray, I told Sister Carolyn, I said, I'm going to choose Abraham. And we were dialoguing, and so God dropped this as I was just in a quiet place walking. I put three sermons together when I was on vacation. Amen. I just got alone and got quiet with the Lord. Remember, principle number one is priority. The second principle is prayer, because your prayers must line up with your priorities. Principle number three, purpose. You see, your prayers and your priorities, they determine your purpose in life. Look at Galatians 12 and 1 again. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. See, Abraham understood his purpose. And Abraham wanted to serve God. He wanted his son to serve God. And he wanted his entire family to serve God. Abraham wanted God to bless him so that he could be a blessing to other people. His prayers were in line with the will of God simply because his prayers were based on the word of God. Abraham wanted a son, not just any son, but the son of promise. He wanted a son that would serve Jehovah God. Did God hear his prayers? He said, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will raise him to serve you. And God gave him Isaac, the son of the promise, so his prayers were heard, and his prayers were in line with the word of God. See, God is a covenant-keeping God, and God will do his part if we will do our part. Abraham lived with purpose, and that purpose was, God, I want a son. And God, if you will give me a son, then I will raise him to serve you. I'm talking to dads this morning. Men of God, are you rearing and raising your family to serve God? Are you teaching them? Are you talking to them? Do you have a prayer altar in your home? Do you have a place where you and your family get together? I saw to it that all of my children had read the Bible through before they left my home. Every one of them. We just would take times reading the Bible. And I remember Jessica, she was just a little thing, but she could read. You know, she learned early. She was a quick learner. But we involved her in the prayer reading. I paid them. I bribed them to memorize scripture. I'd give them a dollar for every scripture they ever memorized. And then I'd go back and check them. Maybe, oh, Anderson, my grandson, he's raising his hand right now. I gave you a list of some new scriptures. Start working on them. Hallelujah. We'll talk about it later. He's gotten a hold of this thing. Amen. See, God is a covenant-keeping God. But we've got to do our part. And Abraham lived with purpose. So the first priority, first principle is priority. Lord, show me. Lord, make me. Lord, bless me. Lord, make me a blessing. Second principle, prayer. Lord, give me a son. Give me that son of promise, and I will give him back to you. The third principle, purpose. Lord, I will raise him to serve you. I have purposed in my heart, Lord, to raise that child to serve you. Principle number four. Persistence. Abraham not only prayed, but he was persistent in his prayer, and he was strong in his prayers and strong in his faith. I want you to look at Romans 4 and 13 with me. Look at this. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world of God was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God spoke to my heart when I read that recently. He said, or righteous faith, or faith that obeys God. The righteousness of faith is faith that obeys God. We got people claiming all types of things, but they don't obey God. If you want God's blessings, then trust God, have faith, and obey God. That's what that verse is saying. Let me read it again. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, through righteous living. See, the promise was not through the law, but it was through righteous faith that it might be by God's amazing grace. Now look at this man's faith, because he had a powerful faith. Can you imagine day after day after God has promised you something? You know that your wife is connected to that, and she's getting older and older and older, and she's getting all bent over, and your body is telling you some things, and you know that you're not as young as you used to be, and you realize, hey, God, if you're going to do this thing, you need to hurry up and do it. I talk to God like that sometimes. I say, God, if you're going to break in and really do something and allow me to achieve what is in my heart to achieve, God, you're going to have to hurry up. Amen. I don't know if you talk to God like that or not, but I do. I said, God, we need to hurry up and get this thing done. But look at Romans 4:18, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, he replaced his hope. Hope is future tense. He believed, he had faith. He replaced his hope with faith. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that's real faith. Amen. He didn't stagger, nor did he waver at God's promises, but Abraham was strong in faith. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He was persistent in prayer, and he prayed over and over and over again, claiming that promise for 25 long years. He was persistent. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed until the answer came. That, my friend, is persistence. Amen. So, Pastor, what is the principle? Well, the principle is this. No matter how dark, how desolate, how difficult, pray and keep on praying until the answer comes. Hallelujah. Just pray and pray and pray. I don't know if you've ever had a season of prayer like that. Well, I have for 12 long years. I had to pray and pray and pray until my healing came. And the devil said, you'll never have the strength to get up and do what you want to do. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed because I had a promise from God. And that promise kept me. That promise motivated me. That promise made me want to get up and go when I didn't feel like going. Brother Elam Johnson, his heart's been going in and out of rhythm. But we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. He's sitting in church today. We don't know whether God's going to heal it completely or God's going to use a surgeon to do it. But I know this, praise God, it keeps going out and keeps coming back in. He just keeps coming to church. And he's like me. He said, if I can get to church, I can get a miracle. He's sitting back there saying, God, right now, God, I'm listening to this sermon. Hallelujah. I'm the one he's talking to that had the heart disease. My faith will fight for me and my faith can overcome the facts. It may be a fact what the doctor said, but praise God, my faith will fight for me. Faith will fight for you. Faith will overcome your future. Faith can overcome fatalism. Faith can overcome the facts. Faith is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. You got it, so use it. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Abraham was a dynamic man. He was a dedicated dad, and he was a diligent dad. And he knew the power of priority. He knew the power of prayer. He knew the power of purpose. And he knew the power of persistence. Which brings me to the fifth principle. Persuasion. When God showed me this verse, this is when I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wanted me to preach this sermon, that this was the Father's Day message. This is the one that really settled it for me when God dropped this into my spirit. And by the way, these principles, persuasion, these principles, they will work for anyone, a mother, a dad, a teenager, or anyone that will apply them. These principles, all of them will work. So first of all, get your priorities right. Then get your prayer life right. And then get your purpose right. And then get your persistence right. And then begin to do what you alone can do, fathers, to persuade your child to serve your God. That's something that you, as the head of your house alone, can do to persuade. Oh, God will use other people. But God says, I'm holding you accountable. God holds me accountable for my children. He gave me a wife to help me rear them. He's given other people to speak into their life. But I promise you this, God holds me as the head of the home accountable for my children. And I promise you this, men, God holds you accountable for rearing your children and bringing them up in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Look at what God said about Abraham. I love this right here. For I know him. God been watching Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. See, God was watching Abraham's life all the time. And that tells me that God is watching our lives each and every day. God knows you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. And God watches us after he gives us a promise to say, what are you going to do with that promise? Are you going to pray about it? Are you going to live according to what I purpose for your life? Are you going to be persistent in seeking me? And then are you going to take what I have promised to you and what I've deposited in your life? Are you going to begin to persuade those around you to follow this God who is such a great, loving Father God? Hallelujah. God watched this man's faith grow, and he knew that Abraham would command his children and his household to follow the way of the Lord. What a testimony. God said, I know him. He will command his children and his household to serve me and to keep my ways. No wonder God counted Abraham's faith unto him for righteousness. So what is the lesson, Pastor? I want you to look at the latter part of Genesis 18:19. God says, I know him. I know he'll command his children. I know he'll command his household. I know he'll teach them to keep my ways. I know he'll do justice and judgment. But look at the latter part. Why did God know Abraham was going to do all of this? He had a tremendous set of promises. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. This is the thing that drove that man. God said, if you'll get out, I'll show you some things. God said, and after you get out, I'll show you. And after I show you, I'll make you. And after I make you, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And after I bless you, Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing to others. What a promise that God made. And when I saw that, and God carried me back to Genesis 12:1-2, where I saw those promises about this general of the faith, amen, General Abraham, amen, I began to see how he obtained what he obtained from God. And I said, God, if I can just get that deposited into some people's hearts, then they will seek you. They'll get out. They'll put out. See, we tried to make this thing the law in the church, but it's not the law. God says, I want you to get out. He said, and after you get out of that sin and get out of those worldly ways, I'm going to show you some stuff. And then after I take your mind and I renew it by the word of God and show you these things, then I'm going to make you. I purpose something for your life, and I'm going to make you into what I purpose for you. See, I love my job in the business world, but that was not my purpose. My purpose was to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I loved that job, but it never satisfied me after I got saved. And I wanted to get free to obtain my purpose in life. Oh, I'm a businessman by career, but my calling is to preach the gospel. God said, if you'll get out, I'll show you. And after I show you, I'll make you. And after I make you, I'll bless you. And after I bless you, I'll bless you so much that I'm going to make you a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Never underestimate the influence of a godly father. The heart of the home is the mom, but the head of the home is the dad. Sister Darnell, come sing that song. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. I landed this thing with purpose real early. Hallelujah. I had a purpose. And my purpose is today, I want us as a church, because we're not having service this night. This is altar time. Sister Darnell, she's going to come and she's going to sing a song. It's not even 11:45 yet. You got plenty of time to come and to talk to God. I know everybody has big plans, but give me 15 minutes of your time. 15 minutes for God to take and speak to you what he has spoken through these lips of clay. 15 minutes to dialogue with the Father. See, prayer is not all about just talking. Sometimes you got to come and listen to what the Father would say. Sister Darnell.
If you look on my family in pity and wonder how we struggle along, then your eyes can't see all my riches. Thank God for my Christian home. When I'm sad and discouraged from failure, and the whole world is against me, and everything's wrong, all I need for courage is to whisper, thank God for my Christian. I'm not seeking for riches or power in a world that I can't call my own, but I'm laying up treasures in heaven where no sorrow will ever. I will leave this old world like I found it, taking with me no silver or gold. But the strong hand of death has no power to break the circle of my Christian. When I'm sad and discouraged from failure, and feel the whole world is against me, and everything's wrong, all I need for courage is to whisper, my Christian home. Oh. All I need for courage is to whisper.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for my Christian home. If you look on my family in pity and wonder how we struggle along, then your eyes can't see all my riches. Thank God for my Christian home. When I'm sad and discouraged from failure, and feel the whole world is against me, but I'm laying up treasures in heaven.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Where no sorrow will ever be known. When I'm sad and discouraged from failure, and feel the whole world is against me,
you're here today and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, this is a great opportunity on Father's Day to meet the Father of Fathers. The altars are always open here, and the most important thing you could ever do is to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful peace that is permeating the atmosphere right now. I want Sister Donnell to keep singing that song. I'm being very mindful of the time. How about 9 minutes? Amen. We don't have to stay that long. I just want to give you every opportunity to come and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to make you Lord of my life. And I want to live my life that you can bless me and make me a blessing to others. Sister Donnell.
When I'm sad and discouraged from failure and feel the whole world is against me and everything's wrong, all I if you look on my family in pity and wonder how we struggle along, then your eyes can't see all my riches.
Yes.
I'm sad and discouraged.